WMFO Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning. It's the 1st of December, 2021. My name is Arthur. And this morning, I have a Western double feature for both halves of the program. The first, I will start off with episode 9. Of Luke's Slaughter of Tombstone. This one's titled Death Watch, with an original air date of the 27th of April, 1958. Sorry, there's a little behind the scenes issues here at the studio this morning. I'm trying to work through those. Thanks for listening.
Slaughter's my name, Luke Slaughter. Cattle's my business. It's a tough business. It's big business. I've got a big stake in it. And there's no man west of the Rio Grande big enough to take it from me.
Luke Slaughter of Tombstone. Luke Slaughter of Tombstone, Civil War cavalryman turned Arizona cattleman. Across the territory from Yuma to Fort Defiance, from Flagstaff to the Huachucas, and below the border through Chihuahua and Sonora, his name was respected or feared, depending on which side of the law you were on. Man of vision, man of legend, Luke Slaughter of Tombstone.
This special meeting of the Cattlemen's Association of Tombstone is now in order.
And I guess it's in order for me to ask what's so special about it, to take up my time when I'm getting a herd ready for shipment.
Well, that's a fair question, Slaughter. Now,
wait just a minute. I'm not finished.
Oh, well, go on.
Mr. Canfield, how can you hold a meeting, special or not, when you haven't got a quorum? There's only you and Bigelow here. That's no quorum.
It's enough.
Well, Slaughter, this is a very special meeting. We kept it small on account of you.
Me?
Yes. You are the reason for this meeting.
I gotta ask you to elucidate that, Mr. Canfield.
Canfield, may I have the floor? I'd like to do the elucidating.
Of course, Mr. Bigelow.
I agree that the accused has the right to know the charges against him.
Accused?
So I think it only fair that you know right off that this special meeting has been called to give you a private opportunity to answer to the charge of horse stealing and cattle rustling.
Who says I'm a cattle rustler and horse thief?
I do.
You stand up, mister, and dig for your iron.
No, boys. Now, let's not add injury to insult. We want to get to the bottom of this, Slaughter.
So do I, and I aim to. No man accuses me without proof, and there isn't any proof.
Well, I'm afraid there is, Slaughter.
Meaning?
Meaning somebody's been stealing horses from around Tombstone, running them across the border and selling them in Mexico.
I know. I lost a couple of three ponies out of my string.
Oh, I'll bet you
no,
did.
No, Mr. Bigelow, now let me handle this. This appears to be a two-way rustling deal, Slaughter, because this someone's been stealing cattle in Mexico and from around here, too, and selling them in Bisbee and Phoenix and Prescott.
Only this time you were stupid, Slaughter. You stole some of my cattle and you had the brass to turn around and sell them to Canfield along with that last herd you drove up from Mexico.
Bigelow, I'm telling you again. You better back that up with steel.
Afraid we've got proof it's you, Slaughter.
What proof?
Well, that last herd I bought from you...
I paid for them in Mexico with my own money. I drove them all the way up here through some pretty rough country and fattened them on the way. I sold them to you for a fair profit.
Yeah, and about a dozen of them had Bigelow's brand on them.
What?
Oh, it had been altered, but it was a pretty clumsy job. Now, what have you got to say to that?
The only thing I can say, I didn't steal Bigelow's cattle or anybody else's.
Well, that ain't good enough for me, Slaughter.
You're new here in these parts, Slaughter, but people hereabouts think pretty well of you.
Thanks.
So, we got a proposition to make to you.
Proposition?
Yes, you pay Bigelow for his cattle, and we'll just forget the whole thing.
And if I don't?
Well, you leave us no choice but to turn you over to the sheriff.
Well, Slaughter, which will it be?
Neither. Reach, both of you. I'll just relieve you gents of your guns.
You're putting yourself outside the law, Slaughter.
No, you're putting me there.
We'll get up a posse, Slaughter. We'll come after you.
You do that.
And we'll get you, sooner or later.
That I doubt. Thanks for the guns, gents. Of course, I'm not taking them permanently. Any more than I take horses or cattle. You'll find them in the watering trough across the street. But if you take my advice, don't come looking for him until I've ridden out of town.
Howdy, Luke. What took you so long in town?
Plenty.
Well, I'm ready to move these critters over to Tucson anytime you are, Luke.
That'll have to wait. Wichita, how long will it take you to get together your gear and chow for 3 days and saddle up?
Oh, half hour if I was rushed.
You're rushed. Make it 20 minutes. There's a posse less than a half hour behind us.
Luke?
Yeah?
If we're figuring on getting any further use out of these horses, we'd better give them a rest.
Yeah, I know, Wichita. That's why we're headed for the river.
Oh, figuring on throwing the posse off the trail by riding down the middle of the stream?
That's right. We'll come out on that lava outcropping down at Jackrabbit Falls. Then we'll see whether they can pick up our trail.
If you had to ask me...
I didn't, Wichita.
Well, I know, but if you had to, that's just what I would have done.
That's just what I figured. Oh, boy. Slow down there. Oh.
Come on there, you ornery critter. No time to stop for a drink now.
They got that much time, Wichita. Let him wet his whistle.
All right, good. I don't know, Luke. I just can't get over it.
What?
You ain't like you to take this lying down.
Well, I'm not exactly lying down, Wichita.
No, you're a high-tailing it, which is worse. And I always thought you had more guts than you could hang on a fence.
There's a time to fight and a time to run, Wichita. And this isn't the time to fight. Come on there, fella. That's enough, Guthman. Come on.
If I was you, I'd have blown the heads off them two slandering sons.
That'd only prove I could outdraw them. It wouldn't disprove their charges.
Well, you ain't going to disprove them by running away.
I hope I am, Wichita.
How?
I don't know yet. But it's a nice day for a horseback ride, isn't it? Let's give these fellas a little rest.
I could use a little myself. That lava field ain't the easiest thing to pick your way through for man or beast.
We'll let them graze a while behind these rocks.
Yeah, now let's go up and peek over the rim. Maybe we can see our pursuers.
All right. Get down now. Pick up your hat.
Sure.
I want to make a silhouette against the sky.
A mighty pretty view of the valley from here.
Yeah. What's so funny?
Look out there, upriver by a mile. There they are.
Yeah.
Fanning all over the desert, riding back and forth and up and down the river.
Well, they'll never pick up our trail.
No, we shook them for fair. What are we going to do now?
Sit.
Sit? Here?
That's right.
Why?
See what happens next. We've made our play. The next play's up to somebody else.
Well, who?
That's what we're sitting here to find out.
sat here long enough, Luke?
Not quite, Wichita.
Sat here all day yesterday. Sat here all night, freezing to death out of fire.
I told you I didn't want anybody to know we were here.
Well, who's to know? That posse faded back to Tombstone before sundown yesterday.
Wichita, didn't you ever learn that patience is a virtue?
I was never known as a very virtuous man.
And that virtue is its own reward.
Now, Luke, sermonizing me ain't gonna get you nowhere.
Oh, I don't mean to play sky pilot, Wichita. But if you look over there toward the east...
A cloud of dust.
I think that may be why we've been sitting here.
Yeah, just a small string of horses, six, eight maybe. A couple of hands are herding them.
That's right. Herding them south. Across the border, maybe.
You think they've stolen horses?
I bet on it.
Well, how come you're so certain?
Well, now, if you were running this rustling, and you'd accused me...
Oh, I'd never do that, Luke.
I know, but we're just supposing.
Oh,
and I skipped town. Now, wouldn't you take advantage of that fact to rustle some more horses? And make it look like I'd done it for certain?
Why, sure. Sure I would, Lukey, if I was a rustler, which I ain't.
Now, I think we can both be pretty sure that we aren't the rustlers.
I reckon so. But if we ain't, then them waters down there are, so let's go get them.
No.
Why not? If your theorizing is correct, they're guilty of sin.
Yeah, but they're probably just trail hands. I want to know who the boss is.
Well, how are you going to find out? Ride down there and ask him?
No, Wichita, we're going to trail him. Let's hit the leather. We trailed them south across the border and into Mexico, keeping well out of sight. By dark on the second day, they'd reached the little town of De La Rosa. We watched the two of them herd the horses into a corral on the outskirts of town, then paralleled them along a back street as they headed for the cantina. We edged up to the door, keeping in the shadows. 15 minutes later, they came out and started across the street.
It looks like that's a rooming house over there they're heading for, Luke.
Yeah. You recognize them?
Nope. Never seen either of them before. We gonna follow them?
Not right now. We know where they are. I'm more interested in seeing who they've been talking to in the cantina. Come on. Keep your eyes open and your hand near your holster.
Right.
Señores?
Dos tequilas.
Sí, señor.
Wichita.
Yeah?
Over there, at that table.
Who is he?
Dominguez, a bandito, smart and tough.
You think he's the one?
I think we better have a talk with him. Hello, Dominguez.
Buenas noches, Señor Slaughter.
Mind if we sit down?
Por favor. You should not have come here, Señor Slaughter.
Why not? We're just drifting through.
Oh, no, you're not just drifting through, Señor Slaughter. You were run out of Tombstone because they thought you were stealing horses and cattle.
You've got big ears, Dominguez.
See? These big ears are very valuable to me at times. I think you follow those horses here to find out who's behind this.
All right, Dominguez. Let's play it your way. But I don't think you're the boss of this operation. I think you're just receiving the stolen horses at this end of the line. And that's your business, not mine. I want to know who's behind this up Tombstone way.
I have no information for you.
No? Might be a good idea for you if you did have.
You're in no position to make threats. I'm holding a gun on you under the table.
Luke?
Easy, Wichita. Yeah, I figured you were, Dominguez. What's your play?
There'll be no play, Señor Slaughter. I'm leaving now, and you will not follow me.
That's a matter of opinion.
If you do, Señor Slaughter...
Yeah?
When you walk through this door, you're going to be shot.
In a moment, Luke Slaughter of Tombstone returns. As anyone who's heard our Amos and Andy Music Hall and Robert Q. Lewis show can tell you, good entertainment does the trick night after night here at CBS Radio. Amos and Andy are old hands at delighting listeners, Stirring up a good time is second nature to them. Call it genius, call it showmanship, but Amos and Andy have what it takes to please. Robert Q and his gang make life easy, too. Blessed with wit, they shuttle back and forth between gentle humor and sheer hilarity with disarming speed. Tomorrow night, satisfy your entertainment needs. Join us when CBS Radio's Amos and Andy and Robert Q. Lewis come your way on most of these same stations. Now, Act Two of William N. Robeson's production of Luke Slaughter of Tombstone.
What are we going to do, Luke?
Go out that door, I reckon.
But you heard what Dominguez said. We'll get dry gulch the minute we step outside.
Maybe. Now's as good a time as any to find out.
He's in the dark out there. We'd be setting ducks against the light.
That's why we're going to have a little less light in here.
Quietos todos! Stay where you are and nobody will get hurt.
I figure it's just as dark in here as it is out there now. Come on, Wichita. All right. When I give the word, we'll go through this door fast. Flatten yourself against the wall on the left. I'll be on the right. Ready?
Yeah.
Now. You all right, Wichita?
Yeah, he missed.
Came from over near that horse trough. Don't shoot till you see what you're shooting at.
Watch out, Luke.
I see him.
Yeah, Piers, you got him.
Stay low. Let's go take a look.
You think it's Dominguez?
I doubt it. He's too smart to leave cover like that. Here he is.
Hey, it's one of the rustlers. You plugged him dead center.
Dominguez probably cleared out. I know him. He won't ever call unless he's sure he's got a winning hand.
Well, maybe he's... Wait. Listen.
Sounds like somebody's real anxious to get out of here in a hurry.
Dominguez, more than likely.
Or it's the other rustler heading north toward Tombstone. And if it is, we've got to catch him before he gets there and make him talk. Come on.
Luke, we ain't gained much on him all night.
I know. I was hoping we could head him off before he crossed the border.
Yeah. Well, how far do you figure we are out of Tombstone?
5-6 hours.
Starting to get light.
We got one chance of nailing him. He's swinging to the left around this ridge. We're going over the top.
Luke, if he's got by ahead of us, we're licked. That'll climb over the ridge like to kill these horses.
I don't think he has got by us, Wichita. Ooh. Here's the trail. There's no fresh tracks on it.
Yeah, I hear him coming, Luke.
We're around the bend from him. He won't see us until he's right on top of us.
You gonna rope him?
I'm gonna try to. I want him alive.
Here he comes.
Hey! Slaughter!
Yeah!
No, look!
Got him!
All right, hold it.
How'd you cut me off?
Doesn't matter now. What's your name?
Ben Faraday.
All right, Faraday. Who are you working for?
Nobody.
Don't give me that. Who's your boss? Come on, start talking.
I don't know what you...
Get down, Wichita.
Hey, came from up on the ridge. You see anything?
Yeah. A piece of a Mexican sombrero up there for a minute. Dominguez.
And I gotta hand it to him for being a good shot. Faraday's dead as a doornail.
Yeah, he can't do any talking now. That's a cinch. Come on. Keep low behind these rocks.
Yeah, cool.
And keep that head of yours down or you'll get it blown off.
Appears to be a lot of cover for him up there.
Yeah. Once we get over this shoulder, we can see the top of the ridge. Easy now. I'll go first.
You see anything?
No. It looks like... There he is.
Yeah. atop his horse and heading for the border.
Sure. He isn't interested in us anymore. Now that Faraday's dead and can't tell us who the boss is.
Maybe it is Dominguez.
Not likely. This operation's too big for a tin-horned bandito. It's got to be somebody at the north end of the line. Probably somebody right in Tombstone.
Well, with Faraday and that other rustler both dead, looks like we don't have much chance to find out who it is.
Come on now, Wichita. Don't throw in your hand till you've used up all the aces in your sleeve.
Meaning?
See that hollow down there in the rocks near Faraday's body?
Yeah, what about it?
I'm going to rig up a little camp there for Faraday and me.
You going to set up camp with a dead man?
That's right. And you, Wichita, you're going riding.
What you think I've been doing for the last 12 hours?
And you got some more riding ahead of you. I want you to ride into Tombstone and tell him we caught Faraday. Tell him he's wounded and unconscious. Tell him to send the doctor. Because as soon as he comes to, we're going to find out who the rustler boss really is.
You figure Faraday's boss will come a-running to keep him from talking?
That's my gamble.
It's a pretty loco scheme, if you ask me.
I didn't. But I'll ask you this. You got a better one?
No.
Then hit the leather for Tombstone. Get that story around town and then get back here as soon as you can. Who's that? Who's out there?
It's only me, Luke. Put that gun away. Ooh, yeesh. I bet I got more saddle sores than this horse has.
Did you get the word around?
I sure did.
Who'd you talk to?
Well, Ezra Canfield, for one.
Who else?
Homer Biglow happened to be in town. I saw to it that he heard. And a lot more.
What'd they say?
Well, they said they hoped Faraday could clear you. And they'd try to sober up Doc Eaton and get him out here. Somebody went to find him. Biglow, I think it was.
You told him exactly where our camp was located?
Yeah. Luke, you figure it might be either of them two, Canfield or Biglow?
Could be. On the other hand, it could be anybody. Or maybe our message didn't even get to the right man. Anyway you look at it, Wichita, there's only one thing we can do now. Let's wait.
It sure gets cold out here at night. I'm going to put another piece of mesquite on the fire.
Leave it be, Wichita.
But I'm freezing, Luke.
Just leave the embers like they are. You don't want to light yourself up for a target, do you?
Oh, now that you mention it. What time you figure it's getting to be?
Well, past midnight, by the looks of the stars.
Nobody's going to be looking for us this time of night.
Maybe, maybe not.
Luke, do you realize that this is the third night running that I haven't had any sleep to speak of?
Then get some. I'll stand watch.
But I can't sleep, Luke. I'm too dang cold.
Well, it looks like I'm going to have to turn you out to pasture, Wichita. You're getting too old and crotchety for this kind of play.
Now, you see here, Luke. You're just as sleepy and just as cold as I am, only you won't admit it.
Quiet. Looks like the party's about to start. Quiet!
I can't help...
You all right?
Yeah, but I'm gonna need a new Stetson.
Serves you right for sneezing.
Oh, dark as ace of spades out there. I can't see a thing.
Neither can he. He just shot at the sound. Keep your eyes open now. I'm going to toss a rock to one side. Make him think I'm circling. Watch for his gun flash.
Right.
Here goes.
Over there.
I've got him. Come on.
Here he is. It's Homer Biglow.
Yeah, Biglow.
Is he dead?
No. Shoulder. He'll keep. Long enough to stand trial, anyway.
If he hadn't fallen for your trap, if he'd have known that Faraday was dead and couldn't talk, he'd still be in the clear.
Yeah. You know, they say what a man doesn't know won't hurt him. That isn't true in Bigelow's case. What he didn't know is going to kill him.
Luke Slaughter of Tombstone, starring Sam Buffington, was written by Robert Stanley and adapted for radio and directed by William N. Robeson. Editorial supervision by Tom Hanley. Supporting Mr. Buffington were Louis Van Ruten, Lawrence Dobkin, Junius Matthews, and Don Diamond, with music composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Next week at this time, we return with...
Slaughter's the name. Luke Slaughter. When we meet up again, you can call me that. Luke Slaughter.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, Paul, what are you listening to?
I'm listening to Arthur's Grand Hour on WMFO 91.5 FM, Medford. Tough. Freeform Radio.
Thank you for the station plug. Yes, my name is Arthur, and this is the Grand Hour here, 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. For that first half of the program, we heard episode 9 of Luke Slaughter of Tombstone. That one was titled Death Watch, with an original air date of the 27th of April, 1958. Sam Buffington kind of sounds like William Conrad, John Daner, hybrid. Whatever. Right now, let's fulfill an FCC obligation.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0. All guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety. WMFO, Medford.
Thank you, Digital George and Digital Henry, for that pre-recorded PSA from about 4 years ago. Right here, when you could have visitors in the studio. For the second half of the program today, I'm going to play my personal favorite radio drama, The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart. This is the first one ever, audition program, simply titled that. This was a sustained show. At this point, no sponsor. This originally aired on the 15th of July, 1953. Thanks for listening.
James Stewart as the Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother-of-pearl. The handle unmarked. But the gun has killed and the man has killed. People call them both the Six Shooter. presenting one of the screen's favorite stars, Mr. James Stewart, as the Six Shooter. Based on the timeless legend of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who brought single-handed justice to the Western Territories.
I had figured on going through Clay City. Was an hour out of my way, and I was already a day late to the Jefferson Ranch where I'd signed on for the roundup. But when Scar started limping from a loose shoe, didn't have no choice. We had to head for the nearest blacksmith shop, so we turned north.
Mister, what's trouble?
The horse losing a shoe.
Well, let's have a look. All right, raise it up, fella. Come on, boy. It's split, mister. He needs a new one. Okay, boy.
Can you take care of it?
Oh, sure. Bring him over here.
Hey, what happened to Red, fella used to own this shop?
Went to Nevada chasing silver. I bought him out.
You don't look very much like a blacksmith, huh?
Oh, I'm stronger than I look. Heavier, too. What do you think I weigh, mister?
Oh, I don't know.
Go on. Take a guess. 120? 30?
Well, no more than that.
You a betting man, mister?
Well, sometimes.
Well, I say I weigh over 130. If I don't, you get the new shoe for nothing. If I do, you pay me double. What do you say?
You got a set of scale?
Don't need no scale. What do you say, mister? Is it a bet?
Well, don't seem to be no way of proving it.
Oh, all you got to do is lift me up. You look like a man who can judge weight. What do you say?
Okay, all right, it's a bet.
All right, mister, just heist me. If you don't think I weigh more than 130, the shoe is free.
I never tried to judge a man's weight before, but all right. There we go.
Well?
Oh, I'll be dog.
I'm packed solid, mister, real solid.
You're packed tighter than a steer. You must weigh 150 pounds.
Yeah, you see, what did I tell you? 158. The horseshoe's gonna cost you money, mister, but you ain't the only one. Ever since I bought the shop, there ain't been a stranger come through Clay City but what he paid double for his first horseshoe. You ain't sore, mister.
No, that was a fair bet.
Sure it was. I told you I was heavier than I look. That's what folks call me, Heavy Norton. My real name's George, but everybody calls me Heavy. What's your name, mister?
Ponsett, Britt Ponsett.
Fella they call the Six Shooter? Well, doggone it. I've heard about you, mister. I've sure heard about you. Oh, would have recognized you if I'd have noticed your gun. Sure is fancy, ain't it? Hey, do you mind showing it to me?
No. Here, catch.
Real fancy. Just like Sheriff Schofield said. He says he's seen you fire 6 shots with it while Whitey Jackson was getting off his first bullet that time down at Eagle.
Well, the sheriff kind of likes to build up a story.
Oh, he swears it's the truth. Here's your gun, Mr. Ponsett. Thanks.
Sure.
You was mighty quick in getting into Clay City. How'd you hear about it so fast?
Well, hear about what?
The holdup at the Fargo station last night. Ain't that why you come?
No. I was headed past town. I turned off because Scar got that loose shoe.
Well, now, ain't that a coincidence? Fellow holds up the Fargo office, kills one man, maybe two, gets away with $5,000, and 12 hours later, you ride into town.
Well, they got any idea who did it?
Nope, not a single solitary one, from what I hear. Like I say, the deputy agent was dead when they found him. Other fella, Fred Wilmer, a friend of his, got shot up pretty bad. Ain't done no talking yet. Doc says maybe he never will.
Did Sheriff Schofield take out a posse?
Nope, ain't nobody to go. Most of the men signed up for the Jefferson Roundup. Left town day before yesterday. Hear the Jefferson Ranch is paying good money this year.
Yeah. You seen the sheriff this morning?
No, not lately. Might be over to his office.
I think I'll walk down that way while you're fixing up Scar.
Sure, Mr. Ponsett. That's a darn good idea. Sheriff Schofield will be real glad to see you.
Couple of doors this side of the sheriff's office, I saw the Wells Fargo sign nailed up next to a window. The place wasn't locked, so I went inside. One of the sheriffs was upset, and there was some damp stains on the floor. The cast iron safe against the wall was standing wide open, so I kicked it shut. went out in the back stoop. There was some more blood on the steps and then just red mud. Right at the edge, I saw the hoof prints. They trailed off along the side of the creek. Whoever made them headed west. The horse had been wearing one shoe different from the other three. A sharp rock must have cut into it sometime or other. Not enough to split it, you understand. Just enough so that the print left a jagged line, like fancy handwriting.
Find something, Britt?
Hmm? Oh, hello, Sheriff. I was heading your way.
Yeah, I just saw Heavy. He told me you was in town. Did you find something?
I don't know. You see these hoof prints?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Don't mean nothing. Trail gives out a mile or so down a creek at Fork.
Uh-huh. Has Clay City had any other trouble lately, Ed?
No, not a bit. I guess any town's got to expect to hold up once in a while, though.
No, I heard it was a little more than that.
Yeah, that's right.
Fred Wilmer able to talk yet?
Afraid not. Doc said he'd let me know first thing he'd come around. Took him out to his ranch.
You been out there to see him since last time?
Wasn't no reason.
Well, it might be a good idea to be there, you know, just in case.
Thought maybe I ought to stick in town.
Oh, I don't think anything more is going to happen here, Ed. I'll get Scar. I'll meet you out at Fred's place. Huh?
I can handle this alone, Britt.
Oh, sure. I'll just offer to keep you company, Ed.
I'll meet you there.
He's all fixed up, Mr. Ponsett. Tied him up around the side so he'd be in the shade.
Thanks, Harvey. Thank you.
Did you find Sheriff Schofield? I told him you was in town.
Yeah.
You figure out anything?
Well, not so far.
Oh, you will. Sheriff's a good man. Why, you and him together, you'll get whoever done it.
Well, maybe so. You're the only blacksmith around here, ain't you, Heavy?
Only one for 40 miles.
Uh-huh. You ever see a horse with a shoe that's got one jagged edge, left hind leg?
A lot of shoes got jagged edges, Mr. Ponsett.
Yeah, but I'll show you what I mean. I ain't much of an artist. Now, here, it kind of looks a little like this.
Hmm. Seems to me I seen a shoe like that just the other day. Sure, I remember. Told him he ought to get a new one for it. Ben Schofield, that's who it was, just the other day.
Ben?
Yeah, the sheriff's kid. You know him, don't you, Mr. Ponsett?
Oh, sure. I ain't seen Ben in a couple of years, though.
Well, you wouldn't recognize him if you did. He just sort of growed up overnight.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he has. That ends the first act of The Six Shooter, folks. Hope you're enjoying the show. Before we get on with it, I'd like to tell you a little bit about how I happen to be doing this program. I've been lucky enough to do quite a bit of radio acting before, but I've never had a program of my own. The right thing just didn't seem to come along, at least not until The Six Shooter. You see, I've made several stories of this kind for pictures. That is, honest, legitimate stories of the West, and I hope that this series can offer the same type of enjoyment with the same integrity. We think it's the sort of program the whole family will enjoy, and we think that the character of Britt Ponsett typifies some of the greatness that built America. We'd be pleased if you agreed with us.
And now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring Jimmy Stewart.
Sheriff Schofield was sitting on Fred Wilmer's porch swing when I got there. Doc was inside with Fred, so I squatted down on the stoop and waited. About half an hour, the doc came out and told us we could go inside and see Fred. Fred was lying on a cot, breathing hard. White cloth across his chest was stained pink, and his voice sounded like it was full of air.
He was just sitting in the express office talking, Sam and me. Didn't hear the back door open. Must have left it unlocked. Turned around and there he was, holding his gun on us.
you get a look at him, Fred?
Handkerchief over his face, Sheriff. I couldn't see nothing. Just the gun. He told Sam to open the safe. There wasn't nothing else he could do.
Sure, sure.
He took the money, walked over to the door.
Yeah?
Looked at us for a minute, and then shot. Didn't have no reason. He hit Sam in the face, and he hit me in the chest. He didn't have no reason.
Take it easy, Fred. Take it easy now.
Just like he enjoyed shooting at us. That's how it was, like he enjoyed it.
Maybe he was scared.
Oh, he wasn't scared, Sheriff. He didn't have no reason. Thought he killed us both. Then he started down the steps. I got my hand on the shotgun and let him have it.
You hit him?
I don't know. Maybe he gave a yell and rode off.
What kind of a fellow was he? Was young, old?
I couldn't see his face. Young fellow, I'd say, though.
How young?
17, 18, full grown.
Was he tall, short?
Medium. About the size of your kid, Ed. About that size.
Got enough for you, Ed?
Yeah, that's enough.
You think you'll get him, Brent?
Sure, Fred. Sure. Sure. Come on, Ed.
Didn't have no reason to shoot, no reason at all.
Wasting our time, Brady's got a day's head start. He'd be 40 miles from here.
Well, not if he shot up.
Now, you go on if you want to.
Well, you're the sheriff. You better make the arrest.
You ain't never been so particular before.
Well, maybe not, but this time I'm particular. You coming?
We don't even know where to start.
Oh, I thought along the creek. That's as good a place as any other.
It's a waste of time, Britt.
Oh, we got time to waste. Come on, let's go. We picked up the trail along the creek headed west. It wasn't hard to follow, and every once in a while we'd see a few drops of blood spattered against the shrub brush. About 10 minutes later, we came to a fork where Ed had said the trail gave out. Scar stuck his nose down into the water, and I looked around. The trail didn't give out. It turned south. I nodded in that direction. Ed didn't say a thing. Just followed. At about 5 o'clock, we stopped to eat. Ed built a fire, and I opened up a couple of cans of beans I had in my roll. Oh, you ain't hungry, Ed?
It's early for supper.
Yeah. Ed, I talked to Heavy before I went out to Fred's place. I asked him who had a horse that would leave a mark like the one we've been following.
So?
And he said Ben did. Your son, Ben. I thought you ought to know that.
A lot of horseshoes leave the same kind of mark.
Fred said it was a young fellow.
It wasn't Ben.
Where is he at?
Jefferson's ranch, working on a roundup. He left Clay City day before yesterday. Couldn't be Ben. There's a lot of wild youngsters in these parts, but Ben's a good boy. Couldn't be him.
You sure?
That mark don't mean nothing. Plenty of horseshoes leave the same kind of mark. You know that, Britt.
You had enough to eat?
Yeah.
Come on, let's go. Real bright, but enough so you could follow the trail. For about 3 miles, there wasn't no blood. He must have wrapped something around the wound. Wrapped it real tight. And then we found the bandage. A piece of shirt tail sopped through. For the next mile, he'd been bleeding a lot, worse than ever. He was hit pretty bad.
Looks like it.
He couldn't have gone much further because... Hold it, Scar. Ed.
Yeah.
Pull up. Over there in the gully, that cabin.
Yeah.
Whose is it?
Used to belong to Jake Levant. Died a couple of years ago. Ain't nobody living there now.
There's somebody living there.
Huh?
Out in back. There's a pony. Better go ahead on foot.
Yeah?
We're going to take him alive, ain't we?
If we can.
We've got to take him alive, Britt.
It's bad.
I don't know, Britt. Not for sure.
It could be Ben?
It could be.
Where have you been the last couple of days?
I don't know that neither. Had an argument with him 2 nights ago. He needed some money. He'd been playing poker and lost a lot.
$5,000's a lot.
I wouldn't give him none. He got mad, said he'd get it himself. And I hit him hard across the face. I hit him twice. He started to hit me back. Then he walked out of the house. I ain't seen him since. I wish he had hit me back.
Now, we gotta get across that clearing, Ed. Over to that clump of trees.
He may see us.
Yeah, we'll have to take that chance. You ready?
Yeah.
You all right?
Sure.
I'll stay in these trees for a couple of minutes.
Okay.
And then we'll rush him. Ain't gonna be easy to take him, Ed. Now that he spotted us.
You ain't gonna kill him, Britt.
I ain't gonna let him kill me.
It ain't his fault, Britt. It's mine.
You know that ain't so.
No, it's the truth. It's my fault.
You didn't raise him to be a killer, Ed.
Maybe I did, Britt. I was the sheriff, seeing that everybody kept close to the line, seeing that everybody lived honest, especially Ben. I broke him, Britt. Broke him like you break a wild horse. I tried to take all the fight out of him fast. You know what happens when you do that to a horse? He gets tame, but the fight's still there, and someday he turns wild again.
I'll rush him alone, Ed.
No. Stay here, Britt.
Well, Sam Norton's dead. Maybe Fred Miller, too.
Killing Ben won't bring him back. He's my son, Britt, my only son. You don't have no kids. You don't know.
I'm sorry, Ed.
No, we're going back to town.
Not without him.
We're going back. Now, you can outdraw me, Britt, but I'll still have time to get a shot off.
I'll try to get him alive, Ed. I'll try.
No, don't turn your back on me, Britt. Don't be a fool. Don't make me do it, Britt.
I wasn't being brave. I knew he wouldn't shoot. A man like Ed Schofield just don't change overnight. You can figure a man like Ed. That's what I thought, anyway. But I hadn't figured what would happen next. I haven't figured on him running out into the clearing, standing there in the moonlight, gray against the black sky.
Ben! It's me, Ben, your dad! Can you hear me, Ben? Britt Ponson's coming after you. Throw out your gun, Ben. Britt Ponson's coming. Now listen to me, Ben. It's your dad.
I saw him go down real slow, like his legs had buckled under him. I couldn't tell how bad he'd been hit. He rolled down a gully out of range, and I crawled forward. I pushed myself past a couple of rocks and head toward the back door. The kid was in the kitchen. I couldn't see him, but I could hear him moving around, going from window to window, looking out, waiting for me. I slid past another rock. I could run for the door or wait. The kid made up my mind for me. I slipped down fast, and the bullets nicked the rocks. The kid had good hearing. He knew I was right there. I took out my gun and waited. I knew he'd get nervous first. Young fellas always do. I wasn't so young. I could wait. It was more than 5 minutes before the door started opening. His pony knew I was coming, too. He started for the horse. I aimed at his leg. For a second, he stopped moving and just hung in midair like a hawk. Then he sprawled forward out of sight behind a log. I raised up a little and hunched myself along the side of the cabin. Everything was quiet now, even his pony. The moon went behind a thick cloud, and I came around the corner of the cabin. Suddenly, the moon came out again, just in time for me to see his 45, just in time to see him coming up over the top of the log. His revolver slipped out of his fingers, and I saw him trying to reach for it again. He couldn't make it. I stood up and walked over to the log. The kid was lying face down, gasping for breath, little short gasps. He pulled himself onto the flat of his hands, and then he passed out. I turned him over with my foot. and I looked at his face.
Ed? Ed?
Over here.
Where'd he get you?
In the shoulder. I'm gonna be all right. Britt, is he? Did you have to?
He ain't dead.
Thanks. I guess he didn't hear me calling to him. He didn't know who I was.
Ed.
What?
Ed, it ain't Ben.
What?
It ain't Ben, Ed.
You sure, Britt?
Yeah, this kid's got red hair.
There ain't no reason to lie to me, Britt. I ain't shot up bad.
I ain't lying. I knew it wasn't Ben while I was going up after him. I knew it.
What are you talking about?
Hey, just come to me. A man don't change overnight. Neither does a boy.
Well, if it ain't Ben...
Lots of tough kids in these parts. You said so yourself.
Where do you suppose Ben is?
Where you said, Jefferson Ranch, working in the roundup. They pay good. Now, a boy don't change overnight, Ed. Is he able to ride back to town?
Yeah, sure. I may have to take it a little slow.
I'll get the kid.
Britt.
Yeah?
You know something, Britt? I couldn't believe it was Ben neither. Not when he shot me. I just couldn't believe it. You know that, Britt.
I know it, Ed. I know it. That was your first meeting with Britt Ponsett. I hope you'd like to meet him again every week. And I also hope you'll try our product. It's something I use myself, and it's never let me down. I don't think it'd let you down either. Maybe I'm not much of a salesman, but this product I don't think needs a lot of selling. As far as I'm concerned, it sells itself. So, I'd appreciate it if you'd buy it this week and give it a try. Let me know how you like it. So long, folks. We'll be seeing you.
Go. James Stewart trying to sell you a product that he doesn't even know what he's trying to sell. Again, that was a sustained show. They were looking for a sponsor. They didn't have one originally. I think maybe Dodge got in there at some point at the end. It only lasted one season. That was just the audition program that had an original air date of the 15th of July, 1953. I don't really got too much else going on here. Let's go ahead and call it a show. My name is Arthur, and this has been the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Thank you for listening.
FM, Tufts Educational Radio.
Yeah.
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
Kosher.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
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 Can you be any more specific?
Yeah. You darn tootin'.
91.5 WMLO. Medford.
End of story.
Taking all the money would have made the best sense.